T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Ron, you look wonderful today, and so do I might add. What's happening here? Where are we?
You're a little mismatched, though, with the red hat and the blue shirt. It's not real color coordinated, though, is it?
Is that a buffalo hat?
Things like that can really get me down, Maddie. And I was stoned on coffee and happy, and it takes a turn. The caffeine takes a turn to where I become morose and anxious and paranoid, or giddy and happy, and Ron just took a turn.
Wait a minute. What's the story here? You're back on coffee.
Yeah, I have been.
When?
I just didn't tell you. All week.
Oh, my gosh.
It happened in Florida. It happened at a golf event.
You haven't
event.
Brought any in that I've seen you drink while you're here.
No, I've been doing it in hiding. So you're, that's a sign of an addict, Ron. We do it in hiding. We hide the stuff from our loved ones.
You are doing this in hiding?
Yes.
Why? I thought you had beaten this coffee.
So did
thing.
I.
And it keeps dragging you back.
That's what addicts do, Ron.
Everything.
We
your
hide
shirt,
the
Joe,
stuff.
We
drink it by ourselves. We don't want to hurt our loved ones.
I want to apologize to you.
What?
Your shirt looks very, very
too late.
Nice.
But
the red hat and the blue shirt don't go together.
I'm done, Maddie. I just went and got the red hat. I didn't know that dry cleaners dry cleaned ball caps. Did you?
No.
Ron, did you?
I had no idea. I throw them away when they get dirty.
Neither did I.
I have about 8 million in my closet.
I went to
literally.
A place in Mount Lebanon and handed in all my junk in a garbage bag, like I usually do. Hadn't gone to the dry cleaners, I don't think, since the beginning of the pandemic. And the lady looked at this hat, this beautiful red Buffalo Bills hat, and said, "We can clean that too." Hint, hint, right? So I said, "You do ball caps?" Absolutely.
I never heard of that.
And I went and got 2 more from my car, and I just went and got it this morning, excitedly put it on, put my Golden State Warriors cap back in the car, and here I come in and I'm insulted off the top on a coffee high.
Brought to you by JP Roofing.
Off the top is brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding. Where do we go from here, Maddie? I got a rebound like the Avalanche now.
Right. I mean,
after
this is
I'm a little,
Friday
I'm
morning.
I'm a little troubled by this coffee thing.
Ron's
again.
Jordan Binnington, and I'm the Avalanche right now.
I'm a
now.
Little troubled by you back on coffee.
So am I. Actually.
Oh, man.
It's very subtle.
Now, do you have some at home on the weekends? Do you have some? Do you make your own coffee?
No. My wife makes it, and I'm hiding this from her as well.
Okay.
It's been very secretive.
I don't make my own. I always go to, like, the Getco or something.
I like that. I like the ritual of coffee
buying.
I do,
too.
Yeah.
But I get one cup and one cup only, and that's all. I don't even drink a whole cup here anymore.
Well, that's the other sign of an addict, is the progression of the disease. So whereas I used to be a one cup of coffee guy, even deep in my cups, so to speak, the last time I relapsed, I went from one cup of coffee to espresso to nitro cold brews late in the day. I mean,
oh,
it was ridiculous.
Gosh.
So
yeah.
How many, is that your first today?
Yeah. And it's powerful.
Now, what leads to this? Are there certain life circumstances that lead you to go back to coffee?
2 reasons. If things are going poorly and if things are going well.
Okay.
And
so
in
the
Florida,
highs and the lows.
The highs and the lows. I like to celebrate or drown my sorrows. Both. So in this case, I was in Florida having a wonderful time. And on a Friday morning, I wanted the wonderful time to become, you know, pure elation.
Ecstasy.
Yeah. Yes. So I figured, why not accompany my trip to this beautiful golf course on my last day in Florida with a little bit of coffee, just to make it that much better. And here I am a week later, Ron.
Just a little hit.
You have no willpower, no self-control.
I admit that, yeah.
None.
Less than that, none.
Other than that, how are you today?
Well, I'm doing well, Ron.
Okay.
And the reason why I'm doing well, several reasons. One is that I think this is the best time of the sports year. Maybe the fact that NFL isn't involved undercuts that a bit. But I feel like every night there's something on.
Well, see, you watch the NBA. I don't watch the NBA. It can't be the best part of the year without football games, so.
That's the thing.
The Stanley Cup playoffs have been just so extraordinary to me. Every night there's something to talk about. A great game last night, Tampa Bay scoring with, 3.8 seconds left to basically eliminate Florida. They're up 2-0 going home. There's something every night that's fascinating. Now, I know you like the NBA, too. They're in, the semis, right?
Yeah. Well, maybe I would say about 2 weeks ago is the best time of the year, because literally every night there's four games on.
Right.
How many game sevens did we have the one weekend?
I think 5 out of 8, if I'm not mistaken.
Between the NBA and Stanley Cup,
I think Stanley Cup was 5 out of 8.
Yeah, the NHL was just 5.
We had Phoenix-Dallas. We had another game seven, Milwaukee-Boston. It felt like every time I turned on the television that weekend, there was a game seven happening.
There was 3 in one day, right?
Yes.
On Saturday.
I mean, it was one of the great sports weekends I've ever seen. I forgot where I was going or what I was going to say, Ron.
I was on my way out of the room. What a great sports day. This is.
Well, last night, I told you, I was on my way out of the room, 10, 9, 8, 7, going to go take a pee, get something to eat, get ready for overtime. And I forget who it was for Florida. Defenseman goes behind the net.
Oh, Colton had to go, right.
Goes behind the net to take Kucherov. It was the game. The time's running out. What are you doing? And then they score.
Great pass by Kucherov.
Great pass.
He is something of a wizard, isn't he?
They have the best goalie. They have arguably the best defenseman. And when Kucherov is right.
And Stamkos.
He's a top 5 forward anyway.
I don't know. Did Braden Point play last night? I don't think he did,
no.
Right?
And
they're winning without one of the best players in the league.
I know. And
a heart of a champion, Joe. Champion until proven otherwise.
And as Sully says.
They also have a pretty good coach, too.
They do.
It's funny. My friend Steve Simmons from Toronto, I saw he tweeted out something. He goes, every year the 3 best coaches are John Cooper, Rod Brindamore, and Mike Sullivan. And none of them are nominated for Coach of the Year.
That's interesting.
And he said, to quote my friend Harry Neal, he said, I'd rather be coach for the year than coach of the year. I thought that was pretty good. Cooper is amazing. He's obviously, the 2 Stanley Cups. I think he's got a hell of a shot at 3.
Well,
one of the guys
who is nominated is Andrew Burnett for Florida. And as our friend Sully says, you can't score your way to the cup. And Florida had, analytically, if you adjust for era, one of the highest scoring teams in NHL history this season. They got 2 goals in 2 games against Vasilevsky. I think they're done. They may win one here in Tampa. It's going to end in 5 and at the latest 6 because Tampa's rolling now. And I feel the same way about Colorado in the West, that if they get by St. Louis, they'll go to the final. But this is it. This is the second round. It's where they always lose.
They haven't won there in years, right? Since the MacKinnon era, right?
MacKinnon's never been to a conference final. Neither has McDavid. Maybe one will get there this year, Ron. Why is my computer
shut down?
Great
stuff, though. Great, great, great stuff. Just wish we were talking to the Penguins. Wish they were still alive. It would have been fun to have another round, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and a lot of the analysis that I hear, come on. They had an AHL goalie. Should they have won anyway? I guess. But as Sully did say, the Rangers blew some leads, too. God bless you, Ron.
Now, that was a cough.
I know I'm saying God bless you for coughs.
That's right.
I feel like coughs have been.
The salutations from you.
They've been cast aside in human
history. The salutations from you are always very uplifting.
Even if you burp, I might say it.
I don't do that on the air. I try not.
Even off the air, I'll say God bless you.
No, Sully had mentioned that in game 7, the Penguins fell behind. And then they went ahead. He said that happens in series. It goes back and forth. What's Cowher's words, the ebbs and flows.
Listen, they
games.
Shouldn't have blown leads. I get it. But they had an AHL. They had a fringe goaltender.
And then an injured goaltender.
And also, in these first rounds, it's not like it used to be, where it's 1 against 8 or 1 against 16. Well, it is 1 against 8. But you know what I mean. It's a divisional format where you're playing, everybody gets over 100 points. We talked about this division as one of the better divisions I've ever seen this season.
Very good. Yeah, absolutely.
And we also said, can we classify it as a massive failure? Like like what a waste of a season if they lose a great seven-game series in the first round.
In overtime, no less.
And they did blow a 3-1 lead. Well, how do we classify that? I didn't expect to talk about this, but now that I think about it, Ron, you and I, a couple times, we would say, what's the bar for the Penguins this season? All right, get out of the first round. But what if they lose to a really good team in a seventh game over? I think that was the hypothetical, seventh game overtime. Do you look at this season as a massive failure? Do you judge it, even though it was seven games in overtime that they blew the lead, like not every seven-game series is the same? Was this a massive failure, like
no.
a stain on the Penguins,
no.
an F for the season?
No, I don't look at it that way because I think they outplayed the Rangers for much of the time, and they didn't have a goaltender, which is a big deal. And then Sid got hurt. Now, they made some massive screw-ups. There's no question. The Erod penalty, the McGinn turnover, you know, Pettersson losing his helmet. They had some awful things happen to them. But I picked the Rangers to win the division before the series. Before the season, I picked the Rangers to win in six before the playoffs. So I can't sit here and say I'm like surprised or monumentally disappointed that they lost. The Rangers are a damn good team. What bothers me a little bit from the Penguins' standpoint is they broke Shesterkin, and they had a chance to obviously win the series, and they
yeah.
couldn't get it done. They did what I didn't think they could do. They broke Shesterkin. But they didn't win. But you know what? It's sports. I think this is pretty much 2 years in a row. We thought they outplayed the Islanders a little bit last year and got poor goaltending. So you don't always win. You know, obviously, when you're up 3-1, you like to think you're going to close it out. But sometimes you got to give the other guy credit, too.
Yeah, I hear you. And I think when it comes to blowing leads, it's a lot easier to protect a lead when you have a full-time NHL goalie. I think we saw that in game one of Canes and Rangers, not necessarily protecting a lead, but what can happen to a team, even as high-powered as the Rangers, when you have a guy who just makes the saves that you expect him to make, plus a couple great ones.
Right.
That helps. And Ranta stopped, I forget who it was. Was it Kako on an open net, or did he miss the open net?
I can't.
He made a great save on somebody, and somebody else missed a wide open net.
And one other thing to point out, you know, we talk about the goaltending and about Sid getting hurt. You know, they didn't have Dumoulin. And I know how valuable you think Dumoulin is to that team. You talked about giving him a big new contract because you think he's so valuable.
Yeah.
And they didn't have him for what? All but the first game.
Yeah, I mean, his value is mostly in not having Matheson and Letang play together,
right?
If nothing else. So I know a lot of people down on Dumoulin. We'll see. One more year left on his contract. But, Ron, we have another story brewing.
All right, let's get to it.
And that is Jordan Addison going to USC.
Which was what the story was a month ago, right?
Yep. And I saw an ESPN roundtable where at the beginning – the idea was, well, this really wasn't about NIL. It was about making himself more draft ready. The guy's already a first-round pick. He's already a first-round pick.
You know, people that always say it's not about the money.
Right.
It's always about the money.
So speaking of that, things have exploded a little bit this week with Nick Saban ripping people, Deion Sanders coming back at him, Jimbo Fisher coming back at him. You and I had another Jimbo. Jimbo Covert come on here, because I think a lot of people disagree with us about NIL. I think a lot of people are worried about it. A lot of people are highly critical of it. And I'm not just talking about coaches. I'm talking about, you know, ex-players, ex-coaches, media people, parent, whoever. Don't like it.
We had Covert on. Who else? Russ Grimm. Both of them said this can't go on. It's got to be regulated somehow. But I just don't know how you put the toothpaste back into the tube.
Speaking of it being regulated, I thought Deion Sanders made a fabulous point in his retort to Saban. We're going to talk about that next. And now it's hit locally, right? Now Pitt football, which had a resurgence last year, is losing its best player.
I mean, they're
losing
their best
player.
He's become the face of the issue. Because this is the best player in the transfer portal and involving with the NIL.
Yeah. I sent you a story in SI this morning that blew both our minds about what's happening with NIL, about how schools are creating, or not necessarily the schools themselves, but for the benefit of schools, quote, collectives are being created, which is basically de facto companies are being formed to fund athletes with fan money and booster money. I mean, people have offices set up. This is all above board.
And
it's all legal.
All legal now.
As far as we can tell, yeah.
Yep.
Let's talk about this, because the one question I'm left with is where does this leave Pitt? They don't have the rabid kind of fan base, obviously, right, that you see in Tuscaloosa or places like
Georgia,
Texas,
LSU. We can go right down the list. The usual big names, right?
Where does this leave Pitt? And what did Deion Sanders have to say that I think really hit home on Nick Saban? We'll talk about that next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All hell's broken loose with name, image, and license. We saw Nick Saban the other day talking to, very fittingly, business leaders in Alabama, and ripping Texas A&M coach Jimbo Fisher, and even took a shot at Deion Sanders for bringing in a player and supposedly paying him. Or maybe it was Jackson State that Nick Saban was talking about. But this is what Sanders says about this. This is what Deion says about this, and this is great. Coach Saban wasn't talking to me. He wasn't talking to Jimbo Fisher. He was talking to his boosters, his alumni, his givers. He was trying to get money. He was just using us to where he was trying to get to. And here's the key, Ron. And Florio, I think Florio's on top of this. He says, Sanders is right. Saban keeps whining about the new reality because he knows he can't compete when the floodgates open to paying players legitimately. So a level playing field for paying players disproportionately hurts those who previously cheated the rules. I'm not saying Saban cheated, but that seems to be what Sanders and Florio are certainly saying, that ironically, when we all thought, wow, this is just going to help the rich get richer, maybe the richest, and maybe If you believe these guys, people who are finding ways to get players before, now everybody's on an even playing field. Now it's about who has the richest boosters and the most willing fans. And that's what Deion says about this too. He says, they forget I know who's been bringing the bag and dropping it off. I'm not the one you want to play with when it comes to all this stuff. Once upon a time, Deion says, the bag was just a bag. Now there's a quality among the big boys.
Well, yeah, but I think his first point might have been his best point, that Saban's talking to his boosters like saying, hey, look at what A&M's doing. We got to step it up here. And, you know, I think that's his message. But he's going to find a way to get his players. He always does.
But everybody else will, too.
Not everybody, though.
Even Jackson State.
I guess. But I don't know how the rich can get richer when the rich are already just dominating the sport.
It's not the rich getting richer. It's the ones who aren't rich getting just as rich as them. It all depends on your boosters now and,
right.
and your fans' willingness and how you can hook up your NIL deals.
I still think Alabama is going to get the best players. The Georgia is going to get the best players. Ohio State going to get the best players because they're going to find a way to step up their game.
What about Texas A&M? That's his whole complaint.
Yeah, I mean, obviously.
Suddenly they're in the mix. Suddenly I think you'll see others in the mix.
Maybe.
They'll get a lot of good players, but Nick Saban, I think, is worried that other people are now going to have access to players.
Right, he wanted
that
the status quo
the,
before this because he always won.
Exactly.
He doesn't want this change.
Exactly. So what we see now is across the landscape, Jordan Addison. Now USC has access to somebody else's player, maybe by simply paying him, right?
That's the speculation that that's why he entered a portal. That they he did
not it. That USC's paying him
through
NIL.
But
right?
Still, it's the bottom line is USC is paying him.
Right.
He's being paid to go play at USC.
Right.
So USC is the one that benefits from that Lincoln Riley.
So what we have now is a landscape in college sports where, via the Supreme Court ruling that said basically go out and get as much as you can, we can't stop you. So you have a toothless NCAA combined.
Dead NCAA, basically.
Yeah, with combined with fervent boosters and fans who are now free to gather up funds to pay players, you have amounts that have never, ever been seen before. Let me give you a couple of examples.
I love the tight end one. Give me that one again.
This SI column.
That's beautiful.
There's a group in Texas. They call themselves Burnt Ends, and they're solely dedicated to paying every Texas tight end $70,000 a year.
It just makes me laugh when you think about it.
$70,000 a year, and people aren't afraid to talk for a story like this. And if you get a chance, read it.
They're not doing anything against the law.
Jason Belzer, one of the founders of an agency that helps manage these quote collectives, groups that want to raise money to pay players. The goal is to create a baseline. Brent Venables, coach at Oklahoma, can now go out and recruit and say each one of our student athletes earns $50,000. Penn State. Let me try to find this one. What you're going to get, by the way, is as a bunch of people said in this story, based on what we're hearing, $50,000 to $100,000 a year seems to be the average rate, which is going to create unbelievable.
Per player.
Yes. Unbelievable resentment.
Now, does the quarterback get more than the center? How does that
work?
Well,
no, I don't think it'll create resentment within the room because everybody's going to be getting their money now. Especially at the big schools.
Yeah, but some getting more than others, right?
Yeah.
That's life, I guess, right?
Yeah, didn't they always?
Probably. Oh, yeah.
The bag that gets dropped that Deion talked about?
Yeah, and probably in the old days, maybe the center and guard didn't get anything, and while the quarterback always was paid.
Here's the best part, Ron. And we can open a discussion on this all the way around. What do you think of this?
And where does it leave Pitt? I think your question was a good one.
Yeah, I don't know that Pitt has the sort of fervent fan base that's going to do things like this. 412-928-9370. Some collectives, SI reports, are growing so quickly they've opened offices. Others have partnered with media entities to reserve space for podcasts, commercial shoots. Belzer, the guy I just mentioned, has people on the ground at many of his sites. See, you have these gigantic companies really helping, advising people, working as consultants, say, hey, set up your collective this way. We can help you. This is the way you can generate funds every year to pay your players and get people to come here. He has people on the ground at many of his collective sites, including Success with Honor at Penn State, where the group is attempting to build a more sustainable model than just having a small handful of millionaires giving seven figures each year. The goal? Get 10,000 Penn State fans to contribute $10 to $500 each month.
And that adds up real quickly with
$2 million.
Lot of fan base that the fan base that they have at Penn State. There's different models here, but the bottom line is they all want to pull this money so they can pay players and get the best players to their school.
Yes. And they can pay every player on the team. I mean, you're talking at Texas, $50,000 a year. That's more than a lot, maybe most people make in a year.
Yeah. And a lot of these kids, for sure, come from families that don't have that kind of money. That's the other thing I said. Parents are heavily involved in this. You know, they want their cut of this, as they always have.
Yes.
And the other thing I found interesting in that story, and I don't know how to pronounce the player of the year from West Virginia that went to Kentucky.
Yeah.
He's staying at Kentucky next year, despite being the player of the year, because he can make so much in name, image, likeness. How does that work? That's amazing to me.
Deshitwe.
Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce his name. What, say it again?
Oscar Deshitwe.
He was at West Virginia.
What do you make of this, Matt?
Well, I was just saying that, and thinking about this, as you're going through all these different groups that are willing to spend their money, to fans, it's almost like the sell is, well, you're already paying tickets or already paying money for tickets, right? This is essentially the same thing.
It is. It's no different. I remember sitting in with Jeff Long on a meeting once.
Well, there's a name out of the past.
When at the Pete, they were going to advance to where if you wanted something like this, Ron, where if you wanted to retain your season tickets, you had to make a donation to the athletic department, right?
Like it's like a seat license.
This is that.
This, yes.
This is basically that.
Direct to the NIL fund.
Prove your fanhood. Maybe even we get to the point of retain your tickets, and there's a lot of question about how much the schools can and should be involved in organizing this. If you want to be a real fan, here, join this collective. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right. And you'll get special access to these players. You'll get special
yes.
You'll get special communications from these players.
Help us keep our best players.
Oh. Not only that, help us get the best right. players. This goes to the recruiting.
For sure. And now it's gone to Pitt, who just lost their best player. Do we like this? Do we like this? Ron?
I have no problem with it. I would have used to, but I've come around so much. You know, I see these coaches make what they make, and they don't want the players to get their share, even though the players are the labor. And I go back to – I give Mike Bray all the credit in the world at Notre Dame. Said, stop whining. Deal with it. This is the world we live in. You're well compensated. I have no problem with players making money. Would I like to see a little bit of regulation somehow? I guess, but I'm not sure how you do that. I mean,
who does the regulating?
And exactly. And how do they do that? If they try to put limits on this stuff, these guys, these groups have already threatened legal action against them. You can't stop us from doing this.
Man, I'm also thinking of the scenarios.
It's legal what we're doing.
Yeah.
Now, the Supreme Court said so.
In some states, states can make their own rules with this stuff, apparently, from reading the story. So it's going to lead to some issues. And then it's going to lead to, I think, more. As if there could be fan backlash with players, I think, Ron, because people are going to have more of a stake in it. They're going to be like, come on, I gave you $1,000 of my hard-earned money and you suck. You know what I mean? You're going to see, I think, more of that. And also, what happens if a guy's making a salary at a school?
And then he transfers.
And transfers in the middle of
how
it.
Long
does he have
those
to give back? Are there contracts?
How long are those deals? And the other factor of this, Joe, is, what about the IRS? What about taxes?
They're going to have to give some in taxes,
for
sure.
If I'm Jordan Addison, just say I'm going to make $3 million next year, I got to pay taxes on that, right?
Yeah.
Not just him, all these guys.
As far as the money investment from fans, though, don't we already have that with legalized sports betting? Where it's, hey, there's extra money on the line here. I've already put this extra investment in you, and you've let me down.
For sure, but I see it as different. When an average fan can say, I'm paying your salary, it becomes even more pro than it already is. It's been professional football for a long time, but when a fan can say, I'm paying your salary, buddy,
yeah.
I think it becomes even
step
more.
Step up and make the catch.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They feel like they have even more of a personal and financial stake in an individual player's performance, I think. So where do we head from here? How do you feel about it as a Pitt fan or just a sports fan in general? 412-928-9370. Let's hear from Jimbo Fisher again from yesterday, him shredding Nick Saban.
It was despicable, I think, what he had. Was it despicable, Joe?
Let's count how many times he
says
despicable.
I think there's at least five despicables.
Let's go over under despicable, 7.5.
I'm going to say under that, but I would say over 4.5.
I'm going to say over 7.5, Ron.
All right.
And then we're going to hear from another Jimbo. I mean, this is unbelievable. We have two Jimbo. How many people are named Jimbo?
Right.
Seriously. Two Jimbos next segment, because we have Jimbo Covert, legend, Chicago Bears, Pitt. He was very, very opinionated against NIL when we had him on. We're going to hear his clip. We have Mike Munchak, hopefully, calling in at noon. Love to hear his opinion on that. Plus, how things ended with the Steelers for him, what he's up to nowadays. He's with the Joe Moore camp. He's going to call us 11 o'clock. Ray Fittipaldo, who's made a little news this week with his opinions. All of that ahead, and hopefully a conversation with you at 412-928-9370. Love to hear from you as NIL catches fire, basically, here, and certainly comes home in the form of Pitt's best player heading west. Are you ticked off about this? Are you understanding of it? How will you feel if, you know, it gets to the point, I don't think it will at Pitt, but you just heard, at Texas, it's very possible every player on the roster will be making $50,000 a year. How would you
and
feel?
And some got to be making a lot more,
oh,
right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, the tight ends at $70,000,
yeah,
burnt
right.
ends. That's what they call themselves,
Why
the people
aren't they loose
funding
ends?
Them. What?
They should be loose ends.
That would be pretty good, actually. Yes.
I guess they went burnt ends because burnt orange.
Is A&M passed him? Now, I think Texas used to be the most lucrative athletic department in all of college sports. Is Texas A&M now? There's so much oil money down there, right?
Good question.
That's why that hurt Pitt years and years and years ago.
Yeah.
When Jackie Sherrill left for the oil money at Texas A&M.
Both of those programs should take off with all this NIL stuff.
Well, Texas has just been a massive underachiever, disappointment.
Right. They've got their own network.
I mean, the biggest and most fervent fan bases are going to benefit from what we heard about Penn State, where if you simply get, it's about volume. You get thousands and thousands of people to donate $40 a month. But how would you feel as a fan if the third string tight end for your team makes more than you do? 928-9370. I'm very curious to hear from Pitt fans and football fans here, Ron. I mean, this is I love
when
it.
When you phrase it that way, that's just priceless.
I love it because it's chaos.
A lot of these guys are going to be making a lot more money than all of us, you know?
Yes. Maybe Addison.
Just,
we don't know what his deal is.
Just about all of us. I shouldn't speak for you.
I love it because it's total chaos and it ticks off coaches who think that they're the kings of the world here and deserve all
and
the
they're
money.
They're losing some control here.
And we know a lot of coaches, and I don't know one who isn't a complete control freak. You?
No, I don't.
Including Nick Saban. And Maddie, how about we hear from Jimbo Fisher after Nick Saban whined to business leaders in Alabama about what Texas A&M was doing?
And let's count the despicables.
Yes.
I say
over under 7.5. You're under.
I say over 4.5, but not 7.5. Let's go.
First of all, I'll say it's a shame that we have to do this. It's really despicable. It's despicable that somebody can say things about somebody and an organization. More importantly, 17-year-old kids. You're taking shots at 17-year-old kids and their families. That they broke state laws. That they're all money. We bought every player on this group. We never bought anybody. No rules were broken. Nothing was done wrong. It was all in the way we do things, the ethics in which we do things. And these families, it's despicable that a reputable head coach could come out and say this when he doesn't get his way or things don't go his way. The narcissist in him doesn't allow those things to happen. It's ridiculous. But when he's not on top, and the parody in college football he's been talking about, go talk to coaches who coach for him. You'll find out all the parody. Go dig into wherever he's been. You can find out anything. And it's a shame that you got to sit here and defend 17-year-old kids and families and Texas A&M because we do things right. We're always going to do things right. But we're always going to be here. We're doing a heck of a job. These coaches have done a great job. Our players have done a great job. The whole organization of recruiting people. It's despicable that we got to sit here at this level of ball and say these things to defend the people of this organization, the kids, 17-year-old kids, and their families. It's amazing. Some people think they're God. Go dig into how God did his deal. You may find out about a guy that a lot of things you don't want to know. We built him up to be the czar of football. Go dig into his past or anybody that's ever coached with him. You can find out anything you want to find out, what he does and how he does it. And it's despicable. It really is. And it's a shame we have to sit up here and have this conversation about things we do. And it's personal to us? Yes, it is. It's personal to A&M. It's personal to our players. It's personal to our coaches and everybody involved. And I know the guy. I know him really well. It's amazing that we're allowed to do those things. It's really despicable. And I hate it. For our players who are coming here, who did things the right way, have done things the right way, and will continue to do things the right way, I apologize to you that people insult you publicly the way they're doing it. And our fans, I apologize to you guys for people saying those things about Texas A&M. But I promise you this, there are no violations. There are nothing wrong. It's the second time we've had to do this with grown men who don't get their way and want to pout, throw a fit, and act up. Just go ask all the people who work for him. You'll know exactly what he's about. I always said this. My dad always told me this. When people show you who they are, believe them. He's showing you who he is.
I won.
Six.
I won. I said over 4.5, but under 7.5. I win.
Six despicables.
Six despicable. How do you think he really feels about it?
Yeah, when I think of people who do things right, I always think of Jimbo Fisher first. He just sounds like a guy who's doing things right out there, right?
Right.
Above board. Look at his past, but I love the fact that he said this. Look at how God did his deal, he said. Go dig into his past or anyone who's worked for him. Oh, I love this. I love the fact that coaches are being pitted against one another.
He said very similar things like 3 months ago.
Yeah, he did.
About NIL and just go dig into people's past if you really want to find out.
So while we're on the subject of Jimbo's, let's hear what Jimbo Covert, Hall of Famer, Pitt legend, had to say
and
about
it. And I believe he's on like Pitt's board too. I mean, he's still very heavily involved
right.
in the university.
And it's people like
and a
Jimbo
very
Covert.
Smart man.
Around the country who are getting involved in these things and helping to organize them. Read this piece.
And he's a multimillionaire. He's a very successful businessman.
Something tells me he won't be part of, although people tend to change their minds real quickly when other schools are kicking your ass.
When they see what other teams are doing, right.
But something tells me for now he wouldn't be interested in paying players tons of money or helping organize such things. This was Jimbo Covert with us.
Well, it's a mess. It's a flat-out mess. And, you know, I don't really have a problem with, you know, guys monetizing themselves in college. I have no problem with that. And if they can do that and they're a star and have the ability to do that, I have no problem with it. I think what the problem is you have the transfer portal and NIL. And I think having both of them together is just not a sustainable model in college football. Just not. And then you have state legislation in some of these states like New Jersey where they're proposing legislation to pay players on top of all this. So, you know, the what's really going to suffer in college sports is, you know, it's football and basketball that really, you know, makes the hay, floats all the boats, as people say. But, you know, you have all these other sports that we play at Pitt and soccer and women's lacrosse and swimming and women's basketball. What's going to happen to that when college football and goes this route? I mean, the uncertainty there is I think really a tough thing to kind of look at. So I'm really disappointed that these things are going down this way. And I don't know how to stop because I think the NCAA is just powerless because they have been powerless for quite some time, unfortunately.
Boy, he's right about that last part, isn't he?
NCAA being powerless, yeah. I mean, the Supreme Court, justifiably, I think,
They
were powerless pretty much.
They cut their Donsics off.
They did.
Right.
I don't know that I agree with Jimbo about how this would affect women's sports and smaller sports because this is outside money, right? The schools themselves theoretically have the same amount of money in their coffers, do they not?
Yes,
to fund those sports?
Yeah, this money's coming from boosters and groups on the outside.
Ron, I mean, this begins, if people are upset about this, it began with the alleged adults in the room. It began with people like Mark Emmert getting a pay increase in a year of a pandemic when everybody else didn't. It began with bowl executives who do nothing, raking in $200,000 a year. And it began with coaches
just jumping contracts,
telling, you know, parents and their kids, I'll be here for 4 years.
And then see ya.
Yeah, before bowl games and chasing money. This all began with the people who are supposed to be setting examples chasing money. And now when the kids want to chase money, it's a big problem.
We don't like it.
A big problem.
We don't like it.
Get out of here, Ron. They can get as much money as they want, I think.
Or as much as they can. I have no problem with it anymore. I really don't.
The only thing that matters to me now is deadlines. I mean, you obviously have to have a deadline. And then once your roster is set, once you can no longer bring in somebody from another school, you have to have your team ready for the season. Okay, then get ready for the season. I mean, didn't we see this already with one-and-dones in college basketball? Doesn't Calipari have a new team every year?
I don't.
Now everybody has to do it. Okay.
I go back to Mike Bray, Notre Dame coach, saying, this is the world we live in. Deal with it.
Deal with it.
Deal with it.
Let's go to Daryl. What's up, man? Is Daryl there, Maddie?
I believe so. Daryl?
Doesn't sound like him.
Good morning.
There you are. Hi, Daryl.
I'm sorry. Good morning, guys. I'm listening to this, and I mean, this is gold, man. This is radio gold. I mean, the Jimbo Fisher thing was fantastic. The Deion response was right on point. And Nick, and it's just really, really fascinating that he has this much to say on a subject that he clearly was taken advantage of in his past, because Alabama can do that. I mean, he had the ability to walk in and say a Robert Foster who's getting ready to go to Pitt and then changes his mind at the last minute because of some things that they throw out there, a car and all this, because Alabama can do that. Because who would say anything about Robert Foster changing his mind from going from Pitt to Alabama? No one. That's an easy thing to say. However that transaction happened. Now, Nick understands they messing with his hustle because he knows he can't play in the financial league of a UT and a Texas A&M. He clearly understands that. And he's going to get players, Ron, but Joe is right. He's not going to get all the players, and he's not going to get players that he actually really, really wants. Because, again, he wasn't recruiting. He was selecting. Whatever reason, whatever method he used to get those kids to come to Alabama, he had an advantage over everybody else, with probably the exception of Ohio State. Now, and maybe now coming up on Georgia. Now, everybody's in the game, because you don't have to pay everyone. You just got to pay a few of the five stars that fit your needs for what you want that year.
Even Jackson State, even Jackson State's in the game. Deion Sanders is in the game. That's two of the top five recruits in the whole country. Have gone to places that they never went before. That's two of the top five have gone to places that you never would have seen it. They're off the board.
That's right. And you know what, Joe? Nobody's going to question it because it's all legal. Now, if that happened, say, 2, 3, 4 years ago, everybody would be like, hold up, how did this happen? We got to dig a little deeper. How does a guy go from Florida State to Jackson State as a top 10 recruit in the country? Something in the milk ain't white. So we need to dig a little deeper. But now, hey, we cut a check. That's what we can do. It's all legal, and it's all on board. And I love Jimbo saying we did nothing illegal. And he's right. You got to pay. Real quick on
the Daryl, I want to ask you a real quick question here, because I value your opinion. Okay. Where do you think this is going to leave Pitt?
Well, here's the thing on that, Ron. It's going to be an arms race based on what other conferences have in terms of players. There's going to be good players at different schools and different conferences. You can easily go in and focus on some. I mean, you've got to have a cherry pick. That's just the nature of where we are. Pitt's going to get cherry picked. You know, everybody's in play. Everybody can be cherry picked. Even in Alabama, I can go to Alabama. If you're sitting on the bench, Ron, you're a five-star recruit, and you're playing in a position that has three other five-star recruits ahead of you. Instead of sitting on the bench for 2 or 3 years and saying, I'll wait to get my chance. Hey, Ron, you know what? We got an opportunity for you to play right now, and we can give you $100,000, a new car, and any restaurant free beer you can handle. What you going to do? Well, I might want to take that deal.
Here's all the free beer. But some are going to be more picker than picked. They're going to be more picker than picked, and I think that Pitt is going to get guys poached It's not like you're going to be taking Alabama's stars unless it's like, you know, a backup quarterback who wants to play. I think Pitt, plus you may be going to a divisionless ACC for football. So two schools come to mind, Clemson and Florida State, that have pretty rabid fan bases and lots of people who are going to make this real difficult on a school like Pitt. As far, I mean, they already do. They already do. I get it. But it could get worse.
Hey, Joe, real quick. Do you know the starting running back for Cincinnati?
Nope.
Who we just got drafted?
Oh, yeah.
He came from Alabama. He left Alabama to go to Cincinnati because Luke Finkel's figuring it out. Hey, that's what Luke Finkel's figured out. Hey, I can get some of these guys sitting on. People want to play. They want to showcase. It's not a situation where you play for Alabama, you're going to go to pros, and that's it. Okay, yeah, but I want to get out there and play. And if you're going to give me money to play, I'll go to Cincinnati. And
well, yeah, that's the key. It's the money. We got to run because it's the end of the hour here, Daryl. But I got one more little treat for you and Ron. Because I'm not exactly feeling sorry for Alabama. One part of the story also says some state laws that at first prohibited school involvement in third-party NIL ventures. In other words, you know, we're going to call the coach and see exactly what he wants the going rate to be, that type of thing. Some of those state laws are being amended or repealed, and Alabama is one example. And it's not like Alabama isn't already taking advantage of this. We mentioned Bryce Young with a BMW deal.
Before he ever played a snap.
Yes.
And certainly turned out to be a great investment, you know, because he won the Heisman Trophy, right?
Nick doesn't like it that everybody else can do that too now. All that matters is who's willing to contribute. He doesn't like that. Not one bit, Ron. Not one bit.
Not one bit.
God, do I like to see him squirm. Don't you?
It's the best.
I don't think he's going to be around much longer. He's 70, I think. I wonder how much longer he's going to coach anyway.
I don't know.
How old's Belichick, his buddy? 71?
I think he's 72.
Same age,
I think.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.